at Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blunt Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Hallelujah. Isn't it good to know that God will do just what he said? That's why it's so important to know what he said. Yes, yes, yes. Bless his holy name today. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh for this word today that you shall speak to our hearts. Minister to us right where we are. Lift us to that place you'd have us to be. Lord, that we might dwell in your word, your will, and your way, and reap the benefits thereof, giving you all glory, all honor, and all praise as you profit us for practicing this truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to the Gospel of St. Luke. Chapter 12, St. Luke chapter 12. I want to commence reading at verse 13. St. Luke chapter 12, verse 13 says, "And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me." Verse 14 says, "And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. I want us to look at this word there closely today, because I do believe that God is going to speak to us concerning stuff. And a whole lot of us get hung up on stuff. And what you don't understand is stuff many times can be used as a distraction from that God would truly have you to focus on. And you miss the real blessing because of stuff. Now, it's not really the stuff itself, because the stuff itself does not have the wherewithal to select or to choose you. So it's really got to do more with you and your attitude and spirit of covetousness that Jesus is really dealing with here, because it's really having to do with wanting something that belongs to somebody else and you have no right to it. Now, it's all right to want something like somebody else's, but to want what somebody else has is covetousness. I want you to see this word, because Jesus is dealing in the beginning of this chapter with hypocrisy. And he's warning folk about being hypocritical. And if you had the time to go through this and look at this, you'll see and understand how he's dealing with the saints, or if you will, or the church folk, Pharisees, etc., with this issue of hypocrisy or being hypocritical. And it's easy many times for us to judge other folk and leave out the most important person that we should be judging in our own existence, and that is us. So many times we can't see our own problems, our own shortcomings, but soon as we are faced with someone else who has an issue, a shortcoming, a problem, a fault, a mistake, or what have you, isn't it amazing how we ascend to judge status so quickly? Now look at Jesus here. He's telling this story, this parable of the rich fool, but he starts off by saying, as the narrative is, "And one of the company said unto him," one who was a part of hearing this story, those who were in the audience as Jesus was dealing with the issue of hypocrisy, etc. And so one of the brothers in this gathering, in this audience, and it is not clear whether or not this was an attachment with him or his following, or just those who knew him and was hearing not only the word that he was saying in the law of, again, not being hypocritical, in the law of not being covetous, but rather there was some discrepancy or some unknownness as to the affiliation whereby this man would use Jesus as a judge or an arbitrator, if you will, to somehow divvy up or have the authority to tell a brother to give this other brother some of what is rightfully his. So however that comes, whether it's just simply through them submitting to the ministry of Jesus and seeing him as a great teacher and as a great lawgiver, etc., whatever the purpose was in them bringing this issue to Jesus, nonetheless, the record is and the narrative is that they did. And what's important is to understand that what preceded this word is the fact that Jesus was talking about hypocrites. And it could have been that one brother was following with the other brother and realized that in the front of Jesus, he was acting like he was all that. And obviously there was some death of a parent, and most times, of course, in this case it was the father, and an inheritance had been given. And most times in Eastern culture, the inheritance, the oldest son was given a double portion. He was then left to divvy out the rest of the inheritance to the rest of the members of the family. And so obviously this younger brother is now in the presence of Jesus, and this elder brother, who's also obviously a follower of Jesus, is now in the presence of Jesus. And since Jesus just got through talking about hypocrites, the younger brother said, this is a good time to tell Jesus that my elder brother ain't doing what he said. So perhaps this was the situation before Jesus, but the word says, and one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. Verse 14 says, and he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? Now Jesus was saying literally, now this is a matter of personal concern. I don't have the legal right to come in and step in and make this man do anything. I can share with him what is right and what is wrong, but let me just give you all both an illustration about this stuff. And so first he tells them, though, that take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Beware of covetousness. Now, he's not just only talking about being beware and warning them of being hypocritical and being filled with the spirit of hypocrisy, but now he's warning them of being caught in a spirit of covetousness, wanting something that don't belong to you. Trying to get something that someone else has, and put it in your name or put it in your possession or put it in your hand. And my brothers and sisters, though this is an old word, this is still a present reality. You got folk who sit right there on the side of you who are in a spirit many times of covetousness because they don't recognize that this is not of God. And yes, though God gives us the right to be able to speak those things that be not, we've got to speak them, though, according to the word of God. We've got to speak them according to the will of God. You'd be surprised how many folks' minds are twisted there. How you gonna want somebody else's possession or somebody else's partner when it's clear that it belongs to someone else? Now we talking about church folk. Jesus was talking to religious folk now, folk who's supposed to know better. If it don't have your name on it, ain't for you. We try to treat everything like much right. You do know what the much right mentality is, huh? Like I got much right to it as you got. You know, we ain't got that as a truth like the world might have it. And so we mess up and we miss our blessings because many times, because our eyes are bigger than our stomachs, or our eyes are bigger than what we can handle, we desire some things that is not fit for us. And as a result, we are miserable in the pursuit. We are miserable in the catch. We are miserable in that we have caught, and we're miserable trying to get rid of it. Now that's just too much misery for me just to have with somebody else. I wish I had somebody here. Now listen at this, because I want you to understand some things, and I want us to be clear about this according to the word. And he said unto them, both of the brothers and those who were listening to Jesus, which now includes us, as this word is still as real and relevant today as it was then. Look at what he says. Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? This is a matter that you've got to handle out of the decency of your own heart and understand certain principles and practice them so that you can profit from them. God's not going to come in and do all everything. Some things you have got to have a spirit of truth about, a spirit of right dealing about, a spirit of being fair about, a spirit of being honest about. And then notice what he says in them. Take heed and beware of covetousness. Now he's saying beware. That's a warning. Take heed and beware. If you get to the point that you always got to have something somebody else has, beware. That's a spirit of covetousness. And once that spirit possesses you and takes over you, you will never ever be content with what you have. It's a spirit that consumes you. You can have 150 pair of shoes, and you see one a sister got that you ain't got, and you gonna kill yourself trying to get that one pair, not because you need it, but you just got the hair because she got it. Oh, y'all getting quiet on me here. It's a spirit of covetousness. Some folk, listen, this is the sad and tragic thing about it. Some folk don't want other folk to be blessed. And here's the bad thing about it. And they think if they lose their blessings, that they're going to get them. Now let me tell you, when you got the spirit of covetousness on you, that even if they lost all that you wanted, God would be careful to make sure you don't get any of what they had. That's why it don't pay to hate on folk. That's why it doesn't pay to hook and crook and scheme and plot and plan and connive and backstab and lie and cheat. That's why it don't pay to do all of that. Because God has what he has reserved for you, and you ought to come to that point where if it ain't for me, I don't want it. It ain't worth what I got to go through to keep it or even get it. Now listen at this. Listen. Beware of covetousness. Now Jesus tells you something that you ought to know and hear. Listen. For a man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Stuff don't make you. Let me say that again. Stuff don't make you. And those of us who have stuff have to be more careful, because folk will want you for the stuff. You know, it's a sad day in history. It's a sad day in a person's life when they feel like they are something because of stuff. Now don't get me wrong, Bill Withers, I believe it was, had it right when he said, nothing from nothing, leave nothing. You gotta have something. If, oh, y'all getting holier than thou, don't act up now. Because I don't know nobody here praying, Lord, please give me a broke man, a broke brother who ain't got a job, ain't got nothing. I just want him to be holy, Jesus. And I ain't praying, Lord, listen, I want you to show me the wife who ain't got nothing, who ain't about nothing, ain't going to be nothing, just poor, broken, humble, don't know where she going, don't know how. No, I ain't going to tell that lie neither. I don't care how holy you is. No, you got to have. No more than some faith. Oh, bless Jesus. But anyway, listen. How can you tell? How can you tell, honestly, if you put or present all of your stuff as the image of who you are, that persons either know or desire to know you for you or for what you possess? You know, I need to just keep it real with you, and I want to help. A brother who uses in his rap or Mac or his line, that's right, L-I-N-E or L-I-L-Y-I-N-G, whichever one you want to put it, he's got this and he's got that, and I'm this and I'm that and all the rest of that. And but, you know, my thing is, if you use that to get somebody, what happens if you lose that? Why would you want to use that as a part of your presentation of you? Now, don't get me wrong. When I stand, all that is with me, connected to me, stands when I stand. But if it stands and I'm still sitting, it means my stuff has more presence and preeminence than the person. And see, when you really got it right underneath the skin, you look like a whole lot of stuff without some stuff. It's in your walk, it's in your talk, it's in your confidence, it's in the way you carry yourself, it's in your character. You are somebody without all of the stuff. The stuff is just the trimmings. It's like having a turkey dinner without no turkey. I don't care how good the dressing and the cranberry and all of the rest of the stuff, that's just trimmings. And a whole lot of folk don't understand that if you don't have the realness of what it takes to be what God wants you to be, then all the stuff don't make you there. And here's what I'm trying to tell you. Stuff don't mean you blessed. If you think I'm lying, turn on your TV to BET. Check out the rappers and check out the folk in the world. Check out a lot of athletes who don't know Jesus and look at all the stuff they got. That don't mean because you got a lot of stuff that you're blessed. And doesn't mean because you ain't got a lot of it that you're cursed neither. But you got to know who you are in the Lord. Listen, that the Bible makes clear. He says a little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of the wicked. A little that a righteous man has. Because you know when you got it and God gave it to you, that's something to rejoice about. You ain't got to be, just regretful and resentful and whining, crying, and complaining because you got it this way and that way. You listen, when God gave it to you, what a joy in knowing this is mine because the Lord gave it to me. Listen to this. I want to move on a little further. Look at what the word says. It says, for a man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And then he goes on to tell this story that we're very familiar with. He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Verse 20 says, but God. But God. See, here was the story of a man who had a whole lot of stuff, but he was not connected with God. And see, when you don't have the connection with God, the stuff don't last. Ah, oh, somebody missed that. I say, when you don't have the connection with God, the stuff doesn't last. The stuff is not worth what you think it's worth outside of a relationship with God. The stuff is just that stuff. And listen at this. He shifted his priorities and he shifted his focus off of God and onto himself and his stuff and missed the true source. The source of himself, the source of his stuff came from God. And my brothers and sisters, again, if we miss this reality, I am who I am what I have what I have by the grace of God. And if I keep my focus on God, if you think this is good, keep watching. Because as long as I keep my focus on God, God's going to keep on adding stuff. Because the stuff don't take my focus off of the source. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these. What things are you talking about? All of the things that the Gentiles, the world, seek after, God will open up doors, make ways, present them to you without you having to go hook and crook and all of those things to get them. God presents them to you because your focus is on him. The source. The source. If you can step on folk to get stuff, something's wrong with your connection with the source. If you got to hook and crook and lie and steal and cheat and do all of that to get stuff, something's wrong with your connection with the source. Because it is the source who gives the supply. And too many of us want the stuff without the source, without the connection to the one who is able to give us all things. The stuff can't give you all things. The stuff can only give you of the properties of which they possess themselves. And in and of themselves, that's all they have to offer. But the God who created all the stuff, if you keep your focus on him, because Jesus is getting to that. Now, let me say this too. God does not have a problem with you having all the stuff in the world. Not a problem with it. Matter of fact, if you walk through scripture, you'll see that the people that God blessed were abundantly blessed. More than they would use or need in this lifetime. Matter of fact, the ones who were truly blessed of God in the abundance had enough to share with generations past them. So that's more than their lifetime and the generation of their children and after their children and so forth, because that's how God wants his people to be blessed. But he never wants them to be so blessed that their focus is taken off of him and put on those things that are fleeting and passing and perishing. Look at what he goes on to say. Verse 20, but God said unto him, thou fool, and that's the only way God sees somebody who would lose sight over him to mess with and put their focus on stuff. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Now, what a major interruption to plan. He's planning for retirement. And God has just canceled out and just put expired on his life. Look at what he says and look at what God says. And verse 19, and I will say to my soul, soul. He too selfish to even talk to God. I said to myself. That's all he's saying. I said to my soul. I mean, he's filled with pride, lifted up in himself. Don't even thank God for the stuff. It got to the point where ain't nobody gave me nothing. Everything I got, I had to work for. Well, you know, I'm glad I don't have to say that. Everything I got, God gave it for to me. I mean, I've had to work for some stuff, but the best things I've ever had, God has given them to me. I don't want to be like some folk who brag on themselves and all they got is because of what they work for. I want to know I've got favor where there are some things I've been blessed with I didn't have to work for. Oh, bless his holy name. I wish you were getting this today. Listen again, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for how long?
Many
years. Now look at what his instructions are to himself. Take thine ease. Take your rest, man. Chill out. And look at what he tells him to do. Eat, drink, and be merry. He threw a party for himself. Invited nobody but himself. And say, I got enough stuff here. We're going to just chill out and party, party, just party all the time. Just us. Okay, now look at what happens. He doesn't even invite God to his celebration. So you do know when you don't invite him, he can crash the party, don't you? Now what he did was he chose to leave the plans intact. He didn't change the man's plans. He just changed the man's participation in the plans. Some of y'all gonna catch that when y'all wake up. He didn't argue with the man about what the man planned to do and all the rest of this. What he did was he took the source of the man's existence, which belonged to him, back from him, which was his life. He didn't have sense enough to know that had God not given him life, then given him strength, then given him the ability to do the things he did, he would not have what he had. He didn't have the sense enough to say, thank you, Lord, for all my stuff. So God said, tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to leave the stuff right there. I'm just going to take you with me. Look at God. Soul, the same one you just got through talking about and talking to, shall be required of thee. God says, now I got a question for you. Since this was all about you and you didn't want to share it with nobody else. Then, who shall those things that you have stored and stacked away, put away and gave nothing to no one else with or shared with, whose will those things be which thou hast provided? See, this is just another instance, and this is just a confirmation of what God says, that the wealth of the wicked. See, the wicked is building bigger bonds to hold all of their stuff.
Yes, sir.
But if they ain't there to use it, if they're not there to spend it, if they're not there to have it, I keep trying to tell y'all don't know who you are. Y'all don't know God has got this thing fixed. You whining and crying about what you don't have. You need to hold on to what you do have. And that's a God who is able to meet and make everything work out. You don't understand. If you just spend a little more time with God, be more concerned about what God wants for you, what God wants from you. And if you just love God, God's going to show you. You ain't got to work yourself to death. There's some other folk doing that for you. But if you remain faithful to God, God is going to remain faithful to you. And he'll give you some stuff you couldn't get in a whole two or three lifetimes of working. And then who shall those things be which thou hast prepared? You've done all the work and you can't even enjoy it now. Listen to what God was telling him. You don't even have sense enough to know you've been working for somebody else. See, if you got the right, I thank God for those evil folk who are working for me. Oh, I thank God they're around there lying, stealing, hooking, conniving, cheating. Oh, I can tell you some other things they're doing, and I ain't got to do nothing either. God just gonna lay it there in my. Oh, thank you, Jesus. That's his word. That the evil have provided. God's gonna give it to those who belong to him. Now look at what he closes out by saying. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So is he. God said, now I was telling you, Jesus